Okay, we are super close to done. Thank you for doing everything you needed to do for, unfortunately, this last Thanksgiving break. And I'm sure some of the assignments seemed odd for Thanksgiving, so we'll debrief. So really, you know, it all sort of ties together, hopefully. Let's start with the end of the day exercise. Again, I'm kind of giving you different tools that you can keep using, right? I mean, I'm grading them right now just so you do them, but ultimately you can continue to do these exercises. Like I said, I've done iterations of these over the past decade, and they help you think through a lot. They help you process. And in particular, right, none of this is really sort of magic. So the gratitude journals, there's a lot of evidence behind how they work. They make you happier, right? You don't dwell on a lot of the negative stuff. And the end of day reflection is a variation of that, where you find this actually in cognitive behavioral therapy. You find it in the St. Ignatius Prayer of Examen, is to look back over the day and go, oh, this actually went well, and why aren't I happy or celebrating this? And then the times that you sort of don't have things go your way, how do you want to cope with that and deal with it? And that's part of the week six discussion. You know, we have, and this is really hard when it comes to autonomy. I'm not even going to, or agency. This is just one of the hardest parts of being a human, is you have an idealized version of who you think you want to be, and you don't always make it. It doesn't always match up. There are times you fail to live up to your own standard. And, you know, part of that is truly a new way for us to exist. So I often sort of coach people around the difference between a contemporaneous autonomy and a prospective autonomy. And contemporaneous means, oh, I can decide if I want to wear the red shirt or the blue shirt today, or do this or do that. And they're not always critical choices, but we know how we feel about it. And we can even say, well, I choose to be happy in this moment. And you can do that. But a prospective autonomy really comes out of last week. What is that big vision for your life, and how motivating is it, right? Because then it sets the path, it sets the goal, and like, I want this. And you're committing yourself to something that's down the road, and sometimes you don't always live up to it. And then you have to figure out how to sort of pick yourself up, dust off, and try again or maneuver in some other way. And that leads us to the really kind of bizarre eulogy exercise. One of you pointed out just how difficult this was, and it is. It is really a hard exercise to go through. I've had one student in the past. We've been doing this for a while, since COVID, but I mean, it might have been in 20. I've had one student really sort of say they couldn't do it. And I get it. It's not to be morbid, right? It's to do the same thing, right? It's actually a visual or a vision setting kind of thing. What is that idealized self? So in that feedback, I'll just kind of share with all of you, because I found it really important. And it ties to your mission statement, and is to look and say, you know, so I've done this, right? I've even done this exercise myself. You know, I've looked down in the future. You know, I'm hoping, my dad unfortunately passed away in September this year. He was 98. I'm 50. You know, if there's anything like that, I got another 48 years to go. You know, I want to say, what would my wife say? What would my colleagues say? What would my daughters say? And hopefully, what would my grandchildren say, right? You start realizing, you know, the goals that you have. Most of us are doing things for our families or our friends, and you want that sort of impact. And so you kind of want to hear their voices. What do you want them to say about you when that happens? That starts to make the path really clear. You start to realize, oh, this is the person I want to be, right? This is who I am. Like, you start to realize there's a thread, and I shared that with a couple of you last week in the missions statement exercise, that when I've done exercises like these, I realize I'm always teaching, I'm always training, I'm always coaching. I can't quite get out of that. And so I've made it very clear to myself that when I'm with my daughters, that's actually part of what I'm doing. I don't, trying to coach them to live without me, right? And not in a morbid sense, but that's part of what you have to do is make sure your kids can keep making good decisions when you're not around, right? I'm trying to make the right decisions here, you know, helping my wife figure out. I mean, this is not like I'm coaching her, it's my wife, but it's a matter of making sure she understands why I do what I do, right? Because not in my job, but around the house, what are the things I'm doing? Why do I do them that way? If something happens to me, someone's not going to be here doing those things. She needs to kind of understand why I do some of those things. So it's really weird. And you go, man, that's just, and not everyone's like that. You're going to have your own approach. That's who I am. And then the vision is, oh, I've got to really set things up in the future for everyone else, right? And, you know, it's not perfect. I'm not going to be perfect at it. But this is why this all comes together, right? You start realizing it. And when I was looking through the discussion boards, I don't remember who said it, but it was a fan. Whoever's wife is in ministry, the great little quote there, I think it was like, distance breeds suspicion, relationship breeds empathy, or something along those lines. Sorry, I don't have it right in front of me. I thought that was brilliant, because that's part of what you realize, and you're looking at this. No one wants to, I mean, this, we're coming up on Christmas, right? The whole Ebenezer Scrooge story is dying alone and taking care of himself and no one else. And that major change, like, this is what we're looking at. It's like, you have what could be a really good life. What does it look to other people? What is that impact? How have you helped them? What have you done? And, you know, again, coming out of that exercise over Thanksgiving, I've really taken to heart that when I do these things, many times it really is out of a sense of gratitude. I've shared with students in the past, I'm from Wichita. I grew up in Plainview. If you don't know, Plainview is not a booming economic part of Wichita. My dad is, I'm the youngest of my dad's children. He has an eighth grade education. My mother got a GED. Like, there was no college education in our family. I'm the first. So not only am I the first to go to college, I have a PhD. Like, there's a lot of things that were set against me early on, but I had a lot of people help me. And so that's why my teaching, coaching, education route, I'm very much about, how do I help other people who helped me back in the day? That is, again, part of my mission. It is part of my vision. It's just part of who I am. And that's, I've carried that sort of thread throughout everything that I do. Families, friends. And, you know, I hope you had a really good Thanksgiving. I know that was a really maybe messed up exercise to do at the time, but maybe it was really beneficial to sit with family and friends and really think through, oh, this is the life I want to lead. So we're really close. We're really close. We're really close. You're going to have one more week of the end of day reflection exercise coming up, and then we're going to be done, right? So, all right, have a good one.